Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Peep State Pandemonium, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we take you down memory lane for a look at professional wrestling the way it used to be, with conversations from those who paved the way. And now the GWH Radio Network presents Peep State Pandemonium.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to PSA Pandemonium for Thursday, March 15th. We are your hosts, Bobby Simmons, Jerry Oates, and myself, Michael Norris. Happy St. Paddy's Day early to you guys. We were just talking before we went on the air. Jerry's already got his green derby out, and he's going to be parading, leading the parades downtown on Saturday.
I'm the Grand Marshal, sir. I am Irish. I should be.
Well, do they make you wear a little leprechaun outfit or?
No.
Okay.
I got me a nice banner. I'm more famous than the guy that is the Grand Marshal. I never heard of the guy myself. I shouldn't say that.
You got a full rank on him.
I've
eight. Oh, we were talking about motels before we went on there. I know a place that you guys don't. It probably never stayed, and luckily, the Marble Manor Motel on Cervantes Street in Pensacola.
No.
What was the name of it?
The Marble Manor.
I stayed down there for a while, but I don't remember the name of it, Mike. I don't know.
The reason I know about it is because when I was breaking into business and Norville Austin was helping me, that's where he was staying. And I would take him from Mobile to Pensacola periodically. But I just found out the other day in talking to Bill Bowman that place was owned by Gladys Gillum. That's the reason why I always stayed there. Gladys Gillum. Killam Gillum, the lady wrestler from the 30s and 40s who later became a lion tamer and an alligator wrestler.
I should say, remember the movie I sent you, the old lady that said she married the one-armed lion tamer?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's Gladys Gillum.
Well, that'd be dog.
She's passed away now, but she lived in Pensacola for years and years and years and owned that hotel or that motel, and that's
well,
why I love it.
That's something. Bit of history.
Well, you'd be afraid not to pay the board over there. Jeez. Whew. So, Jerry, as I called in, I just caught the tail end. You said there's a million folks headed down to Savannah this weekend.
They said there's going to be a million people here over the weekend.
Well, I read the Atlanta paper this week. They said Savannah is now the largest St. Patrick's Day parade in the world, said it has surpassed New York.
You're kidding.
It's what they said.
You cannot believe it. The beach is packed already. The beaches are... I sat on the beach today. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Jeez.
Well, it was 90 degrees here today in Mobile. I don't know what the weather's been like in Georgia, but it was 90 degrees here today.
Oh,
hey,
it
Michael.
Wasn't that hot.
Michael.
It's like 82 here.
Have you noticed that the animal control officer at Tybee Island, he patrols that beach a lot just in case a shark walks up on the beach?
Bobby, I'm hunting a great white.
Well, I promise you, if a shark walks up on the beach, he probably will patrol downtown Savannah right after.
If he walks up on that beach, he can have it. I'm out of there.
You have changed your name from Oates to Sheriff Brody.
Me and him are just about as afraid as one another. Now, I wouldn't get in that water, man. They tell me the Coast Guard. I was talking to the Coast Guard guys down there the other day, last year. They said, when we fly over, we fly over all day long in helicopters. They said, you wouldn't believe the shadows we see out there. I don't know why people aren't mauled out there. I mean, I don't understand it. I'm not going out there.
My wife laughs at me, and so does a lot of other folks, because I will not get in the ocean. I love walking on the beach early in the morning, late in the afternoon. But I tell them, when I get in the water, I'm on their turf. And if they look at me, they think buffet.
Well, you still got both your legs, too, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I really don't. I really don't understand it. I mean, it's... They catch sharks down there. Oh, they catch 6-foot sharks down there. They won't let them shark fish per se. You know, you just can't set up on the beach and shark fish, you know, with big chunks of meat. But, I mean, they do catch sharks. You know, I've seen like a 4-footer myself. They catch, you know, 5- and 6-footers on a regular basis. If they got them that big, you know they got them bigger. I'm not going out there is what I'm telling you.
Yeah, if they catch Junior, Mom and Daddy's out there somewhere.
That's what.
Ooh.
Well, even though I grew up around the beach between living in Pensacola and being born in Pensacola and staying over there with my grandparents and close to the Gulf here in Mobile, I'm not fond of I love to go to the beach. I love to sit, especially like Bobby said, early in the morning, late at night, just sit and just listen to the tide and everything. But I got cured of salt water and beaches when I was about 8 years old and I got stung by a jellyfish. That was enough for me.
Well, you know what showed up here last year? They're called Portuguese man-o-wars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, please. A jellyfish is like a mosquito bite compared to these things. They're jellyfish, but they're called Portuguese man-o-wars.
Yep.
When I saw some people that got hit by them. You wouldn't believe what it does. Of course, I didn't get bit by one of those either.
Well, I'm not the smartest guy around, but if one of them things gets me, it's going to have to knock on my door and jump on me when I open the door.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. See, I didn't get bit by one either, Bobby.
Ooh.
There's all kind of stuff out there in that ocean, man.
What is the, you were talking about a million people in Savannah. What is the normal population of Savannah?
It's not as big as Columbus.
You're kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
I would think it was right behind Atlanta for population.
It's probably, Columbus and Macon are probably pretty close. I think Columbus is like 275,000. Savannah may be that big now. I don't know. I really don't know, Mike. I can't answer that and give you a straight answer.
That's a whole lot of people cramming in there for 1 or 2 days.
You're talking about a million? I mean, come on, man. You can't wiggle. I mean, where I'm living,
you're not renting out homes.
Sure.
Your wife must not let you. Ask your wife if you can let a couple of rooms over the weekend.
I wish I could. You'd probably get 500 a night for them.
For all the times I went down there and worked in that civic center, I couldn't swear the population was more than 1,500. I mean, that was like working in a tomb most of the nights we were down there.
It was never the same when they left the sports arena and went there.
The only time I ever saw that building full was the night Ray Candy got married in the ring.
It was just, I don't know, it lost its... That building wasn't suited for it either, Bobby.
It was too sterile.
The seating wasn't right. You know, it was just, I don't know. Some buildings have it and some don't. This building
some of those seats, if I remember right, some of those seats in that Savannah Civic Center, man, you needed binoculars. I mean, they were way up high and a long way from the ring before they started going up.
And, you know, Macon, I didn't like wrestling in Macon.
I saw Macon full one time.
Well, the Macon building's not all that big. What's the capacity of it? 1,500, 2,000 people maybe?
Oh, no.
No. About 7,000.
7,000, yeah.
That building must be big on the inside than it looks.
It goes
out.
Down in the ground. It's built into the ground.
Oh, it's big now, yeah. And it was, Bobby, did you ever go to the, in Macon, to the auditorium downtown?
Never worked the auditorium.
That was something else, man.
I heard that was a good building.
It was something else. It was an oval building, you know. I enjoyed that. I don't know, it just... Some buildings, you know, they built these new buildings and just lost its, I don't know, the atmosphere wasn't there or something. I don't know. Yeah, this town. You can't get a room at the beach. You can't get a room anywhere here. Nowhere. You might be right. I need to go stand out down there on Bay Street with a sign.
Rooms for rent. Check your guns at the door.
And we will check you when you leave, too.
Not practice.
Yeah, we will check you when you leave.
Continental breakfast, sir. You just go to Krispy Kreme and get them a box of donuts.
This one right down the street, I can hook them right up. Oh, where are they going to put all these people over? They had I think they said 750,000 last year.
Jeez.
Wow.
So do they still turn the river green?
You know, I've never seen it turn. They turned all the fountains green.
Jeez. I know in Chicago they turn that river green that goes through town.
Well, I know that many people in the probably not near enough bathrooms. They'd probably be yellow more than
I heard that.
They're putting out 366 of those porta toilets.
A million people.
Yep.
That's not counting the locals
that'll be down there.
I need to call Charlie Smith when we get off the air, man. He might be able to set up a gimmick table down there somewhere.
Let me tell you, those people clean up down here doing that. I can't believe Charlie had never done it.
He ain't never thought about it.
They sell those bees.
I just don't want to know that stuff down there.
I was supposed to be in the parade, from Tybee. They got a float. I told them, I said, I can't stand up no float for 5 hours.
Jeez.
To be honest with you, I just don't want to get in that mob of people.
I heard that.
Good Lord.
It's not so much a parade as it is getting to the parade and getting home from the parade.
Well, I forget what time they got to be down there, like at 6:30 or something.
Jeez.
And it starts at 10. They got the Clydesdales, Budweiser Clydesdales are here. I mean, it's a big deal. It's huge. It's gigantic. Yeah, Charlie's missing out on a heck of a fling here.
Hmm.
Maybe they can bring a Goodyear blimp down there and you can ride in it.
I could go. They could shoot me across Bay Street in a cannon.
There you go.
Start the parade off of me coming out of a cannon.
Well,
me and Bobby holding hands. Bobby and I coming out together.
Yeah.
We're going to be in Brunswick in a couple of weeks, so I don't know who's doing
that. Are you going to be there?
No, I'm going to North Carolina. I'm not sure who's doing, but I'll check around and find out, and I'll tell them we have a volunteer.
Yeah, tell me sure they got enough powder for that thing, man.
Yeah.
Well, it's not, FU power is all hydraulics.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Well, make sure they got a good net. I don't want some rewoven net.
We don't use a net. We send two of our smallest clowns out there, and they run around trying to catch them. It's like a fly ball in baseball.
That'd really make a splash, wouldn't it?
Unfortunately, we got a little bit of bad news this week. We lost two more of our brethren since we were on the air last week.
Two more.
Gentlemen, I doubt either one of you ever crossed paths with him because he mainly worked out of Toronto, Eastern Canada, in the 70s. His real name was Pat McMahon, but his wrestling name was Shillelagh O'Sullivan. Speaking of Irish, that's a great Irish name there. And he actually was from Northern Ireland. He was a boxer originally. He was a boxer in the military in his home country of Ireland, and was a professional for a while, and then he got to where he couldn't find any more fights there, so he relocated to Toronto and couldn't get any fights as a fighter in Toronto, so he went to Jack Tunney, the wrestling promoter there, and asked to become a wrestler. And he was trained by Fred Atkins, which you know what that means.
That's right.
survived that.
I didn't know that name. Did you, Bobby?
No.
And, yeah, he died over the weekend. And I think, I'm going to say he was 76, 77, somewhere in there. Like I said, was mainly in the 70s, worked up until, I guess, about the mid-80s, stuff around the weekend area. The other one that we lost on Tuesday, I believe, maybe earlier. Again, never, as far as I know, never worked anywhere outside the Northeast. But if you ever saw videotape in the 70s, especially, of New York wrestling, or saw a magazine article on anything that went on up there, you'd know the name Dick Worley. He was a referee.
Yep.
Dick was... he was actually originally an official with the New York State Athletic Department, and he also officiated boxing matches up there. And I guess he did so well that they got him into the wrestling business and worked, I guess, worked up until probably late 70s, early 80s, maybe.
I knew that name.
Was a great referee from anything I ever read about him, and seeing it, a little bit of work I've seen him do from videotape. Was a very good official. So, our condolences to the families and friends of those two gentlemen. And
absolutely.
And our family is getting a little smaller each day, unfortunately. But at least these two gentlemen were not, you know, lived good full lives. More likely the ones that we're losing in the 30s and 40s. And with that, we'll take a break here in just a minute and play our commercials to pay the bills. When we come back, I'll get our guest on the line tonight, a gentleman, Jerry, I know you know well, former tag team partner of yours, what you know him as Hands of Stone or One Man Gang or Rugged Ronnie. Ronnie Garvin will be our guest. So, looking forward to that. Having had the privilege of being around Ronnie a little bit and hearing him tell stories, this is going to be a treat. So, we'll play our commercial real quick. When we come back, I'll get Ronnie on the line with us.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Soley? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past, or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling, and you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
your birthday in Columbus, Jerry.
What happened where?
Commercial says, what happened on your birthday in Columbus? What happened on your birthday in Columbus?
What happened in Columbus stays in Columbus.
But it better. It needs to. That's the reason I left there.
Listen, my friend Randy's son, Chase, he had been wanting to go to the Gulf Coast reunion since he was five. He knows absolutely about nothing about wrestling. I mean, nothing. We've always gone. We always come back, talk about what a good time, so he wanted to go. So he was 18 this year, so Randy took him. So Friday night, we went to get something to eat, and we come back, and he looked at me, and he was very serious. He says, you know, I've known you my whole life. And I said, yeah. And he says, you have been pastoring churches my whole life. And I said, yeah. He said, I just can't believe some of the stories they're saying about you tonight. And I said, Bud, remember what I told you when we left Atlanta? He said, yes, sir. I said, and what was that? He said, what happens in Mobile stays in Mobile.
That's the best way to keep it.
Yes, sir.
Guys, I'm going to dial up Mr. Garvin here and see if we can't get him on the line with us.
Hey, we have a good connection.
Yeah, we're not calling Fargo's house.
Oh, God.
Sorry I missed your call. Leave your name and number. Call you back. Good day.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Hey, Ronnie, it's Michael, Jerry, and Bobby with PSA Pandemonium. We'll try you back in just a few minutes. Oh, well, he did ask me that way the other day when I called him to remind him about this. He called me while I was leaving him a message, so we'll try him back in a minute. Otherwise, we'll just we'll wing it.
He might be running up down the interstate.
Oh, God.
Ooh. No, he probably stopped and saw a fish somewhere.
He's not flying tonight. I was going to say he could be buzzing somebody's house. Oh, God. You have to get him to tell the story, Michael, if we get him about buzzing the boat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got that on my list of things to talk about. He's had more fun, I think, after he got out of the business than he did while he was in the business. So we'll give him a few more minutes here, and I'll try him again.
So does Mobile do anything for St. Paddy's Day?
No, Pensacola does. For some reason, they don't do anything here that I know of. But Pensacola, it used to be, well, I guess it's still there. There was a club that was real popular. I think the name of it. Of course, it's an Irish name, but I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. But they always have something big going on in and around it. The first time I ever did Atlanta TV, the Freebirds were there. And I walk in, and I was wearing a T-shirt from this place because I had been to the year before or something. I had been to one of their St. Patrick's Day things, and I got a T-shirt, and I was wearing it when I walked in there. And Michael Hayes says, I know where that place is. Of course, he grew up in Pensacola, so he knew where all the bars were. I swear I can't remember the name of the place. It was something like Flanagan's or something like that, but it's still around as far as I know. They used to keep... It wasn't Rosie O'Grady. Rosie O'Grady is another place, but it was down in Spill Quarter. This place used to keep a bus parked out in front of it, a double-decker English bus parked in front of it. It's right there on Scenic Highway, just before you go up over Escambia Bay. I can't think of the life of me, but that's the only place around here that I know of that does anything big for St. Patrick's Day, and they certainly don't draw a million people.
Well, when are you hitting the road?
I leave next Friday. I'm going up and
today at the S&B Motor Lodge in Jackson, Georgia.
Oh, really?
When are you coming up?
Friday.
Oh, okay.
Friday. I'm coming up Friday afternoon, and I'm leaving. I'm actually going to North Carolina, to Goldsboro, North Carolina on Monday.
Okay.
And then my first two towns are Goldsboro and Greenville, North Carolina, and they're back-to-back. They're on the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th of April, which is a Monday through Thursday, and then I leave again on Friday, the 20th of April, for parts unknown. I'm not sure where I'll be going from there, but wherever it is on the 4th and 5th, I have to be in Macon because my daughter is graduating from college at Millersville, and I'm coming in and drive down to Macon and stay there because that was the closest I could get a hotel room with my points that I have. So.
One thing we didn't do last week, Michael, and I think we need to take a second and do it. We've been talking about Mobile, and it popped in my head. I'd like to thank Terry Lawler and all the guys that put together that Ted Allen Nightmare to Remember that we went out and worked on back in February. They did a good job putting the show on, but the best part was in Mobile at the reunion. They donated $6,000 to the Sunshine Fund from that show.
That's unbelievable. Yeah,
and that money's used for guys that want to come to the reunion and can't afford to come, and helps out people that, you know, in our business that, you know, for whatever reason. I'm not they handle that, but it was $6,000.
And that's not including what people there over the weekend dropped in the door.
No, not at all.
So we've probably raised quite a bit more than that, and that all gets set aside to help out people who, like Bobby said, either can't afford to travel, they want to come to the reunion, or can't afford a room, they will give them a place to stay and everything. So it's a good thing. I mean, it was something we renamed it 2 years ago, or a year ago, would be the proper way to say it. It was not this one, the one prior to that. But that, which was the first one after Ted had passed away, and the reason we renamed it that is because something that I didn't even know, being a board member, I didn't know this. I guess because that's just the way Ted was. Ted would bring a lot of people that he would come across. I mean, Ted was our ambassador. Everywhere he had worked, anywhere he had went to anything, he was talking about Mobile. You ought to come to Mobile. You ought to do this. Yeah. And there were certain, you know, some people that he would come across that couldn't afford it or didn't have a way or whatever, and Ted would make sure they got there. And, again, that was something he, you know, he didn't boast about, didn't brag about, didn't make known that he did that. That's just the type of person he was. We all kidded him while he was alive about what how tight he held on to a penny and everything, but, you know, he had the best heart of anybody I think I've ever known in the wrestling business. And I should think of what he used to do. He would make sure people knew about the reunion. They didn't have a way to get there, he'd get them there. And that's why we, after the donation they made after the first Ted Allen Memorial show, that we renamed it the Sunshine Fund, which we've had on, you know, the entire length of time of the reunion. But we renamed it and named it after Ted last year. So very befitting, in my opinion.
Yep.
And you're right, Bobby. And Terry Lawler and all those guys that put on that show and donated that money, that our heartfelt thanks go out to them. And Terry, this was only the second time he had been reading, and he came last year for the first time when they brought the check of the proceeds that they had from the first Ted Allen show. And he was booked somewhere on Saturday, so he didn't get to stay for the Saturday events, which Saturday's the day we put on we put on skits and people pantomime and do this and do that.
he kind of got roped into it this year and is performing. And he performed Friday night and again on Saturday, and I tell you, he tore the house down. So I told him he might as well plan on doing that. They won't even ask him from now on. They'll just tell him what he's doing. our partner here, Bobby Simmons, sings usually on Friday night and on Saturday, and does the closing. And we do a little circle, Be Unbroken, and everybody kind of walks around, makes a friends with a big circle, holding hands, and Bobby and Curtis Smith and a couple of the others down there form a quartet, and they sing, and it's very good. Been doing it. I guess you've been singing Old Friends for 22 years, haven't you, Bobby?
This was the 22nd one, and the first 2 or 3 years I didn't do anything, and then Charlie Smith ratted me out, and I had to do one, and I'd done that one, and they won't let me do anything else now. But I missed the first two, so this was 21, right? So I've been the last 19 years.
You're right. This was the 21st. This was the 21st.
Yeah, I've been there 19 of them.
All right. Well, let's try Ronnie again. Let's see if. Maybe he's had his nap, or what he's doing. Maybe we can get him on the phone.
That's who they're pushing to win it right there.
Drop the call. Somebody's going to try it again. I think our switchboard is having problems.
Bubba, you're closer than he is. You try and call him.
Yeah. I was fixing to say, he never should have told him who it was calling. He cut the phone off.
Nope, it's our switchboard dying, so I think the problem is with the switchboard. So I'm not sure what's going on with this thing. And I don't have a two-way calling on there. Oh, if I did, I wouldn't know how to work it.
Don't let you choose yourself, Mike.
Well, I'm not. At least it's not dying this time.
Hello, Cisco Unity Messaging System. From a touch-tone telephone, you may dial an...
Well, who knows what that was?
I'll see y'all next week. I got to go to the parade.
I'm about to hang up myself, so... Hold on a minute.
They don't give out any kind of awards for these kind of shows for technical excellence, do they?
Well, if they do, we don't have to worry about writing. We don't have to worry about writing and acceptance.
Yeah, I hate dressing up to go to those things.
We've set that technology back 20 years.
Sorry, I missed your call. Leave your name and number. Call you back. Good day.
No, looks like you got a better booking. So,
is this where they say Houston? Is this where they say Houston? We have a problem.
Yeah. This is where we give the phone. We give his phone number out over the air to. No. Just kidding.
Oh man.
Oh. Listen, I went up, we might as well tell Ronnie Garvin stories. I went up to him, Jerry, at in Mobile about 3 or 4 years ago, and we were talking, and I said, Ronnie, I said, do you ever remember working with me? And he goes, well, he said, I remember you refereed a lot of matches. I said, no, I actually wrestled you one night. And he looked at me kind of funny, and he went, you did? And I said, man, I'm really hurt you don't remember it. And he said, I don't. I'd taken a cage to Augusta, and I wasn't referee, and I was just waiting on the match to get over and take the cage back. And somebody didn't show up. So Ernesto goes, you got your stuff? And I go, yeah. He goes, get dressed. You're going to work tonight. So I'm in the opening match with Ronnie Garvin. I walk to the ring. The bell rings. We shake hands. They ring the bell. He kicks me in the gut, suplexes me, and pins me. 1, 2, 3. It took about 9 seconds. And I told him, and I said, you don't remember that? I mean, you don't remember how straight I got my feet up in the air while you were holding me? And he goes, no. I said, well, man, I'm really crushed.
How do you expect him to remember? I'm surprised you remember.
Hell, he didn't even break a sweat, and I didn't either. Oh, well.
Putting him over so well, did he at least help you take the cage down?
No. Well, we had enough fine fans down there, and I didn't have to do much toting in Augusta.
You had to deal with some steps there, didn't you?
Let's see. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I think we had one little flight of steps to go in and out because I parked on the side of the building. It wasn't bad, though. It wasn't bad. I'll tell you the worst place in the state of Georgia to put a ring up, the absolute worst. There's a gym in Gainesville, Georgia, called the Gym of 36. And the first time we went there, I had no clue why they called it the Gym of 36 till we got there. There's 36 steps you have to go up to go in the front door. And that is the only way to get the ring in the building.
You kidding me?
No, sir. I mean, it was horrible.
Talking about buildings in Augusta, did you ever wrestle in that new building, Bobby, or go in that new building?
Yes.
That new civic center they built?
Yep.
That wasn't nothing like the Bell, was it?
No, sir. No, sir. But that was like heaven compared to the College Bowl.
The what?
The College Bowl.
Oh.
That's where me and your brother worked after we lost the Bell.
Oh, that's where we. I dropped him off there, and I dropped
yep.
and I run back to the Bell and go pick him up.
Yep, that old bowling alley.
Oh Lord!
No, it was awful.
Did y'all throw anything in there, Bobby?
Nah. Then people were, we tried to run head to head, which made
right,
no sense.
On Monday.
Yeah,
on
Monday night. Made no sense at all. You know, you guys are down at the Bell turning people away, and I think the folks that got turned away didn't even come to the College Bowl. I mean, it was really bad. Seriously, it was an old bowling. You know how bowling alleys had those ceilings that they went down in height as you got closer to the pins?
Right.
Well, it had that kind of ceiling in there. And you set the ring up, so one side of the ring, the ceiling was higher than the other side. And, I mean, it was no way to dim the lights. It was just totally lit. It was really, just really bad.
But why didn't y'all run another night there like they did in Columbus?
I have no idea. See, that was the two towns we ran. We ran Columbus and Augusta on Mondays. And when we lost the Bell, they just decided to keep going. They got that building. Steve Manderson was still the promoter at the time. And he got the building, and he convinced Tom or Ann that, hey, we're going to draw. They know me. They know my name. Well, Steve Manderson didn't complete with Ole and Gene against Wahoo and whoever.
Right.
You know, so.
It seemed like they would have went in there on a Thursday night or
yeah.
something.
Anything. See, I don't know. I wasn't involved, but if it worked in Columbus that we were able to get the auditorium on another night, I don't know why we couldn't have got the Bell on another night. You know, it would have had to have been a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday, because I'm sure there's a 1 or 2 day, you know, buffer in a contract, but
Y'all ran Atlanta when on Tuesday?
Tuesday nights. And drew well for a while.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yep. I mean, Atlanta, when the, I mean, you were you here when the split first happened, or did you come in shortly after?
I was in Mobile. No, I wasn't. I was in Montgomery.
Okay.
And I was already booked, and then it split.
Yeah.
You know, I was like a week out of coming.
Oh, okay. Well, when the split first happened, the first week Ann ran, she ran on a Friday night head-to-head with the auditorium. And we were out at Oglethorpe.
At college.
Yeah. And the college was a pretty good building. It was just in the wrong part of town, but it was on a bus line. And we drew a good crowd that first Friday night.
I worked that crowd. I worked that show.
Did you work that one?
Yeah, I did.
And the reason it was so good was because people knew the names we had, and they filled the card up at the auditorium with Hiro Matsuda, Jack Briscoe, who nobody knew at the time.
Eddie Graham.
I mean, these people knew these names, but they knew the people we had.
Exactly.
And Tom was able to carry on with some of the angles he had been working, you know, just carry them right on and just carry over. So the Friday night did well for a few weeks, and then they switched to Tuesday. And then finally we got the deal at the auditorium and we went downtown. But we drew good for a good while, and then, of course, it started fading away with – couldn't get any talent, and
I can't believe you guys.
Somebody got the booker.
Stupid Saul Davis.
Hey, listen, man.
Against Ernie Ladd.
I was first to say.
Ernie Ladd would be the center of Madison Square Garden, in my opinion.
You know, we've chopped that watermelon up many times, but it was just a. That was a different era. It was just people were avid wrestling fans.
Well, what other town did good for a pretty good while, Bobby?
We ran Augusta and Columbus on Mondays. They both did pretty good. Dick did a good job of promoting down there. We started out in the National Guard Armory,
and that was horrible.
It's a bad venue, but we drew pretty good. And then we went to the auditorium. Tuesday nights we ran Atlanta, and that was all we ever ran on Tuesday was Atlanta. Wednesday nights we ran Americus, and Jody and Rock were promoting together, and we ran Batesburg, South Carolina.
How'd that do?
It was a small building, but it did okay. They drew some pretty good houses
America.
Over there. Thursday nights we ran Athens. And
how'd y'all do in the Americas,
it was up and down.
Right.
You know, it was some weeks it was good and some weeks it was down like everything else, but overall it was pretty good. People were used to going to the matches there every week, and the reason we got Americas was they got mad at Fred. Fred would advertise people and they wouldn't show up, and that wasn't necessarily his fault, but you know, that was the reason they gave that we got the town. But if I remember correctly, Dick promoted it. Now he would know more than me, but
what did y'all run on Thursday?
Thursday we ran Athens, and Jody and Rock ran Orangeburg, South Carolina. And we did okay there, too. Remember Jimmy Union, guy used to referee in Savannah some?
I've been meaning to ask you guys about him for several weeks, and it never got around. Yeah, I remember Jimmy Union.
That was his hometown, was Orangeburg, South Carolina.
That is correct.
And he helped promote that over there, and he would referee some over there, even though I would take the ring over. I was on a salary back then. I got the same thing every week, no matter what I did. And he would sometimes they'd let him referee to pick up some bucks there. And
Jimmy was a nice man, by the way.
He was super nice.
Very nice man. I love Jimmy Union.
And he was tough as nails too.
He called me Utz, Jerry Utz.
He ran the Friday nights. We ran Savannah and Warner Robins. And,
I didn't remember y'all running Savannah on Friday.
We ran it on Fridays.
How did y'all do here?
I saw the building full one time, and that was when Ray Candy and Miss Ruby got married in the ring. It was just so-so. Franklin Stokes. Who? Yes.
I'm not trying to interrupt you, Bobby, but since we couldn't get Ronnie on the phone, I got two guys I'm gonna recruit real quick since they're listening to us. They'll probably get mad at me, but I don't care. I need your help. Let me get them on the line. Mr. Turner, Mr. Bowman, you guys are gonna have to help us out now. Since
plus one other match.
That's right. Plus one.
Let me put my teeth back in.
This is an answer machine. There's no one in.
We had a miscommunication with Ronnie, so we'll press you guys in. Joe, you've been awful quiet.
I'm just tired.
Don't sleep.
I know. You've been it wears
him out toting all that money around.
Yeah, right.
Too tired.
He's been riding the old ladies up and down Beach Boulevard in Biloxi.
Yeah.
That's kind of getting pretty strong there, too. Bunch of old ladies riding now. Looked out on the second floor one day, and I thought it was a senior citizen home.
Joe, anyway, we rode over there Saturday night and ate after the reunion. It just didn't, I mean, it was the first of the month, which normally it's, you can't walk over there for the people. It just didn't seem like there was that many folks over there. Is it slacked off?
Well, some places it's not. They're bringing people in by busloads to fill them up, but we're doing pretty good. We started back that senior day, and on Mondays and Tuesdays, and they got something going. I mean, Mondays and Wednesdays, and we've been packed.
Okay.
Anyway, is everybody doing all right?
Yeah, we're doing fine.
Yeah, we're great.
Yeah. Well, what are we going to talk about? You caught me half asleep.
What?
Did I ever tell you all about the time that Bill used to pull a lot of jokes? And, you know, all y'all think I pulled jokes on him, but he pulled lots. And, you know, Bill used to do things. Bill and I were both married then, and we'd go, like, in Carolina, go to Walmart's. And old Bill didn't have no butt or hips to hold his pants up. So he'd get in the store and go over to one of the little clerks over there, straightening up clothes or something. And he'd suck his belly in, his pants would fall down the floor while he's talking to her. And he'd reach down and pull them up and say, "Oh, excuse me." And one time, Bill done that, and he always wore bikini underwear. And I guess he forgot to put some on, and he dropped his pants. Some old lady hollered out and said, "They ought to arrest him for indecent exposure." The mother woman looked at him and said, "I don't think I see enough evidence."
Oh, man. That's my
plan of work.
I'm going to tell you something. I think it was Thursday night, or maybe, no, it might have been Wednesday night at the reunion. We were in a hotel talking, and Bill walked in, and he broke the room up. He walked in, he had his pajamas on, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen," he said, "I want to show y'all something." He said, "Nick promised us we'd be farting through silk." He pulled his pajamas down a little. He said, "I'm wearing silk drawers."
Overall. Did I tell you guys, I'll tell you all a joke or two. That's the guy that went to the football game and he was late getting there. And he drove around for 15 minutes trying to find a parking place. And finally just pulled over and decided to say a prayer. And he said, "Oh, Lord, if you'll put me in a parking place, as I quit drinking, smoking, and cursing, and run around on my wife." So he pulled out, went down the next lane, and sure enough, there's a parking place. He pulled in there, and as he's pulling in, he said, "Oh, Lord, you forget it. I found one myself."
You can tell that one from the pulpit, buddy.
Yes, sir. We can file that one away.
Yeah, that's in the Bible, people doing stuff like that. Something along that line, says a scripture about it.
Yep.
I think you told me about it, didn't you, Bobby?
May have. They. Oh, goodness.
Oh. Anyway, the reunion was great. I thought it was fantastic this year. And I think we had more people than we ever had, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we had, what was it, Bill? Bill and I were talking about that the other day, and he figured out by the Bill had a system where he figured out how many plates we pass out and how much food's left, about how many people there.
Uh-huh.
What did we figure, Bill? Probably close to 400 or more.
Yeah, right at 400. And that's hitting it right on the nail. That's biggest we've ever had. We had a big group come in late. It was 10 of them that came in from New Orleans. And they really had a great time. And they said they're coming back. And that's what it's all about. And
yeah, of course they're coming back. They won all the door prizes. Them and Stubbs were the only ones that won any door prizes. So I know Jerry Stubbs will be coming back because he won a prize. So he'll be coming back next year.
Yeah. Good to see some old timers come that hadn't been coming.
Yep. That was good to see. And we'll have more next year because we're going to work on them of getting more and more of the older people back in before we all die off. I don't want Bobby to be singing French at my wake.
Bobby don't want to be singing at nobody's wake. I had to sing that song, Bill, at Tommy Weather's service last week.
And I told
Jimmy Powell and the other minister they had. I said, "Look, I said, let me go last. I said, I'm gonna stand over here behind this wall where I don't have to look at nobody." And that's exactly what I did. I sang to a wall.
Well, that's good because the song comes out and it just tears you to pieces and makes you think of who your friends are.
Yeah.
And how many you have.
Yeah.
It means a lot. I had one of my friends this year give me a gold picture of Jesus, and that it just tore me up.
What's the story behind that song, Bobby? I know you've been doing it at least as long as I've been coming to reunions.
You know, the first two or three years I went to the reunion, I didn't do anything. I just sat in the back and watched, and Charlie kept after me to sing. So finally I figured, well, okay, I'll do something on Saturday. And it's an old Bill Gaither song. They did a video years ago where they got a bunch of these old gospel quartets from the 50s and 60s together, and they just put them all in a room, and they just tell stories and sing. And I don't know why we haven't done this with wrestlers. I mean, we got them all together there in Mobile. If we'd take the initiative to get somebody with a camera that's quality enough to produce something, you know, people would buy this. But the race car drivers have done it, the country western singers have done it, but the wrestlers have never did this. But they call it a reunion where they put them together in a room. And Bill Gaither wrote this song called Old Friends, and that's where it came from, because he was talking about all the people there that had traveled together and sang, and, you know, they went up down the highways on buses and sang night after night in different places, you know, just like we did, only we were wrestling as opposed to singing. That's where the song came from, and I just, when I heard it, I thought, man, that's us. And I've used this, I've said this many times. We use the word friend very loosely, we all have a lot of acquaintances, but we really have very, very few friends if we think about it.
Amen.
And you learn real quick who your friends are. You know, I mean, everybody's got friends when you got a pocket full of money, and everybody's got friends when you're on top. But when you're when it's just you, and you're out of the limelight, and you know, you find out who your friends are. And I got four of you on the phone with me tonight, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I just there's more than it's crazy. I mean, we all had to get out of the business to realize how much we loved each other, and that's sad, but it's true. You gonna have me crying? I gotta hush.
I can't take much more of this.
No. Yeah.
We'll all have to come to Savannah on Saturday, Jared.
Come on, I have the float ready. I'll have the float ready, buddy.
Hey, if Turner heard the bottom first of the show, he may be heading that way with a gimmick table.
Well, he can come on. He can sell all he can bring, I'll tell you that.
He has some green rugs he can bring.
Listen, then eat them up. Eat them up.
Oh, man. I don't know where you put a million people in Mobile if we had something like that. I mean, we don't draw that for Mardi Gras.
Bobby?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you something. Is Charlie Smith going into the grass-cutting business now? Because he called me and told me he's buying a big old cutter. It's going to cost $3,100 to cut his place. Is he going to cut grass all around or something?
Well, you know, Charlie's got several acres.
But
I'll share something with you. Charlie wouldn't know how to ride it if he bought it. His daughter-in-law used to cut the grass on a tractor he had. So he may be buying it for his son or his daughter-in-law or somebody, and he can say it's his and he's cutting grass, but cutting grass for him is sitting in the house and saying, "Are you through yet?"
I was going to say, if it's that same tractor that's sitting in front of his front yard with a for sale sign on it, that one doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, he was going to get rid of the tractor. I didn't hear about the new mower, but yeah, that sounds about right.
Him and Bill Bowman's a lot alike then. I called Bill one time, that's before we went on the road together, and I called him in his house to go somewhere, and he said, "I can't, I'm real busy." And I said, "What are you doing?" "We cleaned out the rain gutters and stuff around the house. They had a lot of trees around the house." And I said, "Really? Well, I just so happened I took a shortcut by his house. There's a guy up on a ladder doing all of it, and Bill was sitting out front in a chair with a cigarette and a glass of tea. And that was doing that work."
Is that the way it's supposed to be? Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Every job needs a supervisor, doesn't it, Bill?
It sure does that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how Charlie's getting. He's probably listening. He'll call me in a few minutes. But when we left to go to Mobile, there was five of us this year rode together in Charlie's van. Me and Randy and Scrappy McGowan and Ronnie West and Charlie. And we agreed to split the gas five ways. It's only fair. So when we met at Randy's and we left and we're on the way, and Smitty said, "We got plenty of gas, let's get to Opa-locka and we'll fill up there, it's cheaper." And it was. It was 12, 13 cents cheaper a gallon in Opa-locka than it was in Georgia. So we get there and it took $94 to fill up Charlie's van. So $18.40 a piece. We split it right down the middle. So Ronnie paid for the first one, so I gave him my money and Randy did and Scrappy did. So when Charlie comes out of the store, he went to the bathroom, Charlie yelled, "Ronnie, $18.40. He goes, "Oh, no, I don't know nothing." And I said, "Well, how you figure?" He said, "Well, there was gas in there when we left Atlanta that we got to here." He said, "I figure y'all owe me about $35. I said, "Man, you have lost your mind."
There's only one Charlie Smith.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I don't think we're ever handled two of them.
No, sir.
I'll tell you something. We're talking about friends. You can't have a better one than Charlie Smith.
Absolutely.
If he likes you, he likes you. And it's just, I talk to him every day. And if I don't hear from him, I call him just to make sure he's all right.
I
know he called you guys, too, so.
Yeah. You talk to him, though, so you can come up with something to talk to about in your sermons, don't you?
Oh, yeah. He gives me a lot of sermon material. Thing about Charlie is he'll call you, and he wants you to talk to him.
Yeah.
He just sits and holds the phone.
He's got lots of friends, buddy.
Yes, he does. When you were talking about doing work around the house, you know, Charlie was cleaning out the gutters or doing something, and he fell off a ladder. This has been several years ago, and he broke his Achilles tendon, and he had to have some surgery on his ankle. Well, he was stuck. He couldn't do anything. He was on, you know, he had the foot propped up, and he's in his chair. He would start about 10 o'clock in the morning, and he'd go through his phone book, and he'd call everybody he knew. And the morning call wasn't bad because he generally had something to talk about. But by the afternoon, when he went through the phone book, he went back to the front and he started over. And he'd call you the second time. Well, the second time he had absolutely nothing to say. He wanted you to talk to him because he was bored. And it didn't matter if he was working or busy. I mean, you know. And then he got to where he would. I was living at the time. We were living in Monroe. Which is a little bit bad. You had to go out the same way right through Snellville and Loganville to get there. And he told me, he said, can you start stopping by here in the afternoon on your way home? And I said, well, yeah, why? He said, just come by here. And if you've ever been to Charlie's house, from his front door to his mailbox is probably 100, 150 yards. And he couldn't get the mail. So he wanted me to come by there every afternoon to get his mail and bring it to him.
You did, didn't you?
I did it every day almost for 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
You went for it.
Well, yeah. Guilty.
That's bad as Billy Hines when we went to Carolinas together. Jimmy Hines had told me some of his traits he'd done. And he says, you know, he don't like to drive, Joe. He says, he'll get you on the road. If it's time to drive, that he'll close that eye that's near you where you can look at the other one, but he'll run off the road like he's falling asleep, and he'll jerk, jump up, and pull all kind of crap trying to get you to drive. So anyway, we wasn't up there about a week, and sure enough, he started pulling it. And he said, Dadgum, I don't think I can drive any further. And I said, won't you open both of my eyes so you can see better? And I said, Jimmy doesn't talk to me. He said, that's no good, so-and-so. he was a character. He was fun to be around, but he can pull some stuff now. They're always talking about pulling roots.
Those two people that don't get their due as far as great tag teams over the years, the Hines brothers.
Yeah.
So they really didn't. They worked in Tennessee, they worked in the Carolinas, Georgia, and here, and that was pretty much it. I don't think they ever traveled anywhere outside the Southeast. I don't even think they went to Florida other than the Panhandle area working for the fields here.
But, they started in Carolinas. You know that?
Actually, they started here.
The story I heard from in the Carolinas, Mr. Crockett verified it. He said that he was hanging around. He's working in carnivals, wrestling and fighting on them carnivals. And anyway, he'd hang out at this restaurant, and them, the guys that was working for Crockett would come in there, and he'd talk to them. And they'd feed him all kind of stuff about they was making X number of dollars, a lot more than I was making. And he said that they kept on telling him that, and so finally he decided he was going to go talk to Mr. Crockett and see if he could wrestle. And he walked in there, and he had a pair of, I think he had a pair of sheriff shoes on and jeans and a white T-shirt. And he had that carnival paper stuck in his back pocket. And he walked in there, and he says, "Mr. Crockett, I'm a wrestler." He said, "You are?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I know them other guys are making lots of money." He said, "But I'll work for half of that. You just booked me." And Mr. Crockett ended up giving him a booking and sending him. Mr. Crockett had some deals with, I think it was with a shirt company or something, a shirt store, and had trousers and all in there, and he called down there and told him he could send somebody down. He told Billy to go down there and give him 3 or 4 sets of clothes and give him $250 bills, I think it was. And he's so happy to get them $50 bills, he said. He didn't know if he wanted to wrestle or not. That's more money he ever had. I know he, Billy came in here, 61. Jimmy was already here before us. And Billy came in under the name Bulldog Billy Cox, and then he was here for a few weeks and then left, and then next thing you know, he was back as Billy Boy Hines. That was all in 61, so I guess they were team pretty up in the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm. So, you know his real name?
Billy's? Yeah, Owen Yao was his name.
Owen?
Yeah,
But
I've looked him. He did box under the name of Billy Cox. He was a middleweight. And he didn't have a whole lot of fights. He had about 5 or 6 fights. And I think he won 5 of those or something like that. He didn't have that many fights as a professional fighter. But like you said, he worked at the carnival. Love to bleed, I know that much. Yeah, I think the world of him. But one time when we was in North Carolina, we lived out by Pineville, North Carolina, and there's a gas station we hung around. Billy go up there and drink beer with that guy. He drank beer all the time, too. And we was in there one day, and there's a big industrial section in there, but there's old roads and old buildings and narrow roads. And this truck driver, they was always coming in and find directions. And this truck driver, this real strong, broad-shouldered black dude comes in there. And he had shoulders wider than Hulk Hogan's, and big old arms and all. He came in for directions, and he kept looking at Billy. Well, Billy started walking off. And the guy says, "Sir." And Billy just ignored him. He said, "I'm talking to you, sir." He said, "Yeah, what is it?" He said, "Don't I know you?" He said, "No, you don't know me." He tried to walk out of the place. And he said, "Yeah, I know you. I boxed you one time." And the guy says, and Billy said, "No, you didn't." And the guy said, "Yeah, I did. I remember you. I boxed you." And Billy was turned red in the face. And so I told him, I says, he said, "I don't know you." He said, "I never boxed you." And Billy turned red in the face, and I says, "I settled this." I said, "Sir, who won the fight?" He said, "I did." That said, "That was him."
Well,
I just got an email from Scott Teal with a little bit of bad news and surprising news to me. I don't know. I know Bill and Joe will know who this is. Joe McCarthy, who wrestled a lot down here, a lot in Tennessee, he passed away on the 3rd of March at the age of 82. And I had no clue he was still alive.
I didn't either.
Go ahead.
I thought he came to the reunion about 4 or 5 years ago.
Not that I don't know. He may have, but I don't remember his name. Of course, there's so many people. If I don't know him by face, I probably wouldn't have recognized him because I never saw him work.
I thought he came with Al Criswell.
He was Al Criswell. If he came with Al Criswell.
Yeah.
Joe McCarthy and Al Criswell, the same person. His real name was Tommy Criswell, but he worked under Al Criswell. I didn't realize that.
82 years old. He had a long history in this territory.
Yeah,
he's a pretty tough guy.
Yep, he was one of the Fields clan. I think he was kin to him some kind of way.
Hmm.
He came out of Dyersburg.
Yeah, that's it. I believe that is where he was from. I know he was from up that way somewhere. I think he had a hand in getting Curtis Smith in the business, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm not sure. Actually, Scott just sent me another. I said March 3rd. It was actually 2 days ago on the 13th he passed away. So our condolences go out to his friends and family. You guys ever work with him anywhere along the way, Bill or Jeff?
No, I didn't. I think he was down here in the 50s, wasn't he?
Well, he was here in the 50s, I think. In the early 60s, he was here. He was the Gulf Coast champion in 1960. But he started in the first appearance he made here was in 54. He came in as Al Criswell and then was back and forth for a couple of years as Al Criswell. And then I think in 56, he started using the name Joe McCarthy. And he held a couple of titles in here. He and the great Polo, which was Lovelock, Al Lovelock, of the Southern Tag Team title at that time in here. And then Joe was the Gulf Coast champion in 1960. Like I said, I never got to see him work, but I've heard a lot of stories about him. And I didn't realize he had also had a 3-month run as the NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion in 1966. I know he and Danny Hodge had a lot of matches against each other in the middle 60s.
He would always, when he went to the ring, he'd take a pair of tights with him. And he said about people challenging, he'd take them on. But nobody ever took him on. You know, just saw how tough he was.
He was from that Dyersburg group up there. They were all pretty well tough one way or the other. They
hurt somehow or another. There was a mess of folks came out of that Dyersburg area, wasn't there?
There was quite a few wrestlers. All the Welches came out of there. Hatfield, Welches.
Charlie Carr. Yeah, Charlie Carr was from up that around that way at one point.
Harris. Jerry Barber.
Where was Galento from originally, Mario? Wasn't he from up around that way somewhere?
Nobody knows where he came from. One of them.
I don't even know if he knows. Yeah. That's where I'm coming from up there.
I think Joe and I wrestled all of them except Criswell. We wrestled them all.
Yeah, we...
And sons and grandsons.
Yeah. We went to Florida, Bill and I did, and we went to a town, and Roy Lee and them come in there and said, Dad wants us to go over. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? I've been putting Fullers over, Welches over, Hatfields, nephews, uncles, daddies, grandpas. And I said, I'm not starting another generation. He just looked at me and says, well, what do you mean? I says, I'm just kidding.
I think if you just the Welches and all their branch kin, if you wrote them all down, I think it's between 27 and 30-something.
Yeah.
The wrestling business in one shape, form, or another, especially if you add in, like, Billy Golden and his brother Phil Golden, who ran Paducah, Kentucky, in opposition to Gulas there for a while.
Yeah.
And, all the Hatfields and their branch kin.
Yeah.
Count Bob Kelly is a branch Hatfield, I guess.
Speedy told me one time, you know, him and Herb Welch are brother-in-laws.
Yeah.
Anyway, he had a sister that Speedy never met, is the way I heard it. And anyway, he said, when Speedy saw her, he says, "Dadgum," says, "I'd like to spend the night with her." Said Herb Jones, "Dadgum, you, that's my sister." And I got that all screwed up. That's back coming up. Anyway, I think Speedy had a sister or something, and Herb said that to him. But anyway, he turned around and told him, he says, "Well, you've been sleeping with my sister all these years." I don't even remember all of it. But Speedy was a character, too, now. You know, he's always trying to pull that knife on everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And one day they was over at the farm, and they had a boy named Cowboy. It wasn't Cowboy Kelly. It was a boy, tall boy that helped with the ring and all that, and he's real tall and kind of stoop-shouldered. And so he worked on the farm and all that. He just hung around, and some people even thought he was one of the fields. But they were riding along one day, and a car cut him off because they'd pulled out in front of him or something and pulled over and stopped and jumped out and goes, Speedy jumped out, and the guy come out with a tire tool or something, metal, and could hit Speedy with it, and he reached in his pocket and didn't have his knife. It was in the seat of the truck. So he hollered at Cowboy and said, "Bring my knife, Cowboy, bring my knife." Cowboy didn't bring the knife, and he kept hollering, so Cowboy didn't ever show up. So he turned around and told the guy, he says, "I think we need to talk about this a little while." He said, "That guy standing there fixing to hit him with that tire tool." So when he talked him out of it and hitting him with that tire tool, and then when they drove off, he said, "Where's you at, Cowboy?" He said, "Man, that other guy had me on the side of the truck with a gun stuck up in my face." But they used to pull jokes on each other, you know, people to help them out. They over that farm, they used to get out to each other, the brothers did, and chase each other, and they'd act like they cut each other and all kind of stuff. And the guy working for them would leave. He'd get off the tractor and run.
one of the Hines brothers, Big Ribs, they'd always stage a fight in the shower, and one of them, usually Billy, would come out bleeding like a stuck pig.
Yeah, that happened in Chattanooga. And you talking about Glento a while ago?
Yeah.
And Billy come out holding his guts and blood running between his fingers. And Glento walked up to him, stuck a gun up to his head. Said, "Don't you cut him no more." And he went for it. He believed it. wonder somebody can get hurt doing that one.
Talk about Speedy Hatfield. He was living up in Hattiesburg, and he was going through rough times. And so him and his buddy would go down to Lee's farm where the racetrack is, and they would steal a cow, bring it back and get it cut, and they'd sell the meat and everything. Now, Lee was trying to find out who was stealing his cows, and he found out it was his dad. And they worked a big deal there with the sheriff up in Hattiesburg, arresting him for stealing cattle and everything. But that's the kind of ribs they pull on each other, on father or sons. But he was hungry.
but they. But Speedy always said, get a bologna sandwich because it's, you know, that's what's going to have to do business for tomorrow, you know, so. And always remember that. Joe.
Yeah.
Tell them about the good place we used to eat right before we went across the river there in going over to Missouri.
What about it? Oh, you talking about Herb?
Yeah, up in that area where they had the, and it was a good place to, yeah, we used to ride the ferry across there.
Yeah, well, they had an old country store up on, in like a, up on blocks and all, and you always go get cheese there, and you get anything, bologna cut, and we had big, good blowouts there. But old Herb Welch is always pulling jokes, and some of them ferries up there was all one unit. Some of them was pushed by a tugboat back and forth. And if you got out of your car and it's cold weather, you go in them tugboats. And they had a heater in there, and they always had a big coffee cup, a coffee can, like you buy coffee in a gallon can. They'd have it on there with water in it. You know how people put water on over the heater years ago. And so old Herb go in there, wasn't nobody around, he'd take a leak in that can.
True story.
Yeah. And one time he took a dump. Drive off, and people go in there when they change around, and it smells like terrible in there. But Herbert have you hating your wife. I mean, he'd start in telling you things like, I rode with him from Memphis to Jonesboro, and he don't say nothing about your wife. He talks about guys in the business. And they working in nice, just like people as singers and different things. And he says, man, that's all of them. You know, women get lonely at night. Then when the sun goes down, that's when they get lonely. And he just kept on and kept on and kept on. I mean, he'd talk for 30, 40 minutes before you could say a word, you know. And you listen to all that, and you may trust your wife and don't have no bad feelings toward her or nothing, but... By the time he gets through with you, you'll be wanting to shoot her. So anyway, Bill and I one time was in East Tennessee up there, and wasn't that boy's name? Jerry Mike that rode back with us in Woodrow Bass, Bill?
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of hair-lipped a little bit. And anyway, I decided to pull that on them. Me and Bill riding along, and Jim White and Jerry Mike's in the back seat. And we're riding along there, and I started talking about truck drivers and people working night and wrestlers, and, you know. And I said, you know, I said, it's a shame, but I said, we have to make a living. I said, but these guys, man, all out there working their butts off, and their wife's home getting horny and lonely, and they just sneak out a little bit and all, and kept on and kept on, and almost halfway to Nashville, so... And it was a moonlight night, and I could see the mirror on the thing now. I turn around and look sometime, but old Jared Mike squirming his seat back there. Well, his nice wife was 9 months pregnant. And anyway, finally, he says, I don't think my wife would do that. She's 9 months pregnant. I said, man, we ain't talking about your wife. I says, we just talking about in general, man. He says, besides that, what do you mean 9 months pregnant? I said, some women... have sex all the way up to the day they have a baby. Top it all off, man. And I think a Woodrow got a little word, too. But anyway, we got back to Sam Davis Hotel, and Bill and I was going up to the room. We stopped by a desk to check something. And there's a phone booth right there by the elevator. And Jerry Mike's on the phone talking to his wife with the door open. And I just politely walked by, and I said, see you later, Jerry. I said, but you know they can be giving somebody a hand while they're talking to you? It went on. So.
terrible. The funny part about this is what Joe was talking about. We did something like that all the time to keep amused because we were up down that damn road so much that we had to do something like that. We were all the time pulling some kind of crazy ribs.
Yeah. Like Bill's sitting on the side of the road asking directions. Somebody said, I don't know where it's at. Then he'd tell them where it was at. He'd pull off the side of the road and talk to somebody just to pull something.
Oh, yeah. Good gosh.
But
we've met a lot of fine people on the road through the years. And a lot of people that, you know, you didn't want to mess with. But we were out there. We were amongst them all. And just type in it. And everybody that's listening to us has done the same thing. Some kind of ribs or something going on. But it was a good life. I would love to do it again. I'd like to be part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just that's always been my regret that I came along as it was starting to change, and after hearing and getting to know so many people that were of that era, I don't know if I'd have survived back in those days, but I know I missed a lot. Just the stories I hear you two tell and the stories of the Fargos up and down the road. I'm surprised nobody didn't do away with them.
Hey, that's
as crazy as those two were.
Yeah, one night we were going to Chattanooga and Jackie, we didn't know he was back there behind us. He had a flashing red light in his car and he pulled us over. We out there on the interstate in the middle of traffic trying to get off on the shoulder. Just, you just never know what was going to happen. But that's what made it so fun.
When you guys were working together as a team, who did you guys work with the most as far as another team? The Perez brothers, which is Ramon and Soto?
Yeah, and plus them guys up in North Carolina, Briscoe and Scott.
Sandy Scott.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Gary a thousand times with him.
Yeah. So I guess Crockett kept booking us together and figured one night we'd get it right.
Jerry, who did you work the most with during your career?
Ooh. Well, let's think about that. Waskowski, I worked with him a lot. Kansas City and out in Oregon. Worked with Murdoch a lot.
Great worker.
Unbelievable.
Now I got a Wiskowski story that involves Bill Bowman.
Went to
Vegas a few years ago, and he was there.
Oh.
And we're sitting at the table talking, and we're just talking about different people. And he said he worked with Bill somewhere in the Carolinas one night. I think he was Carolinas. And he said you know. He said, working with Bill, he said, was a night off. He said, but something happened that night. He went to, some way or another, he knocked a tooth out or he knocked a tooth loose. And he said, he just picked it up and he stuck it back in the hole till he could get to the dentist the next day. And he said, he stopped at a store, and I forget where he said he stopped, and I can't remember exactly he said what happened, but whatever happened, he got bumped into by the store clerk or something, and the tooth fell out. And he said the store wound up paying to get his tooth fixed.
That sounds like him.
Yep. Easy Ed.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was up in Richmond, Virginia, it happened.
Was Virginia?
Yeah.
But, I hadn't thought of it. When you mentioned that name, I remember him telling me that story. Well, matter of fact, you were there that year, Bill. I think you and Ann were there.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, yeah.
He came up and told me the story.
Yeah.
And I didn't remember it.
Well, there was probably a lot of guys you knocked their teeth out over your career.
Is that why they called him the dentist?
Dr. Bowman.
Let me tell you something. I've told this 1,000 times, but it is the funniest memory of Bill Bowman I have. He hit me in my ear one night with a cupped hand, and it was like a cannon went off in the side of my head. And I took a bump out on the floor, and I was laying face down. And you know how when that happens, it sounds like people are a million miles away. And I rolled over, and I looked up at the ring, and there was a big four-way schmoz. He had quit what he was doing, and he was stuck his head out through the ropes, and he was screaming at me, "Tater! Tater!"
People in the audience had no clue what you guys were talking about, dude.
No, no.
Yeah. Well, who either as a team or individually, who did you guys enjoy working the most with?
Well, we pretty much enjoyed everybody we worked with. There's a bunch of good guys in the business. A lot of them very good back then. You know, just a few incidents happened. We had some guy that liked to broke my back. I shot him in and go give him a backdrop, and he jumped on the top of my neck like he'd go ride me like I was a horse and like bit me in two. I don't know where he come from, my buddy. But most everybody was great, man. It was just, you know, the guys were just good. You know, you had to be out there all the time.
True.
Different people had a little different talent, and that was good, too. They had different styles on things, but, you know, it all worked out good.
But Joe and I were lucky with wrestling so many different people through the years that we learned our craft, and they could throw us on the match. It didn't make a difference whether it was babyface, heel, or queer, or whatever you wanted. We'd give it to them in a minute, hopefully. But we love working, and we enjoyed it. Okay. Well, we should have made some moves that we didn't to different territories for a lot more money, and which we could have gotten. But, hey, we were happy doing what we were doing. So that was the main thing.
Yeah. Did either one of you guys ever have the pleasure of working with Moose Cholock?
I don't think so.
Yes. Yeah, we did, Joe. Yep.
We did.
Is that right? In the Memphis show, one of the Memphis shows we did. And he had some other partner with him, something else. I don't know who it was.
Yeah.
It
You sure you're not thinking of Moose Evans? Moose and Giant Evans?
I knew Moose Evans. I'm talking about Moose Cholock.
I don't know that name myself.
Well, you'd have remembered him. You'd have never forgot it if you had him.
Yeah.
He was in a tag match one night in St. Louis. Geigel was his partner, and they was wrestling Joe Tanguero and somebody else. He broke Geigel's ribs and Joe Tanguero's nose. And Geigel was his partner. That's how dangerous he was. He didn't have a clue.
Well, just like Ox Baker, we worked 6-man tags with him. We got beat up worse than other people did.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. He'd take a bump and knock both of us off the ring.
Is Ox still employed with Walmart?
No, he got fired. They caught him selling autographed pictures. Or that's what I was told.
Story I ever heard. I believe it.
I believe it too. It sounds like him.
the last I heard, he's with some kind of amusement company. He does something for the amusement company.
Where's he living?
I know. Connecticut? Somewhere up there.
Yep.
I know several years ago, it's been at least 5 years ago, he had published a cookbook.
Yeah. Cookbook.
Well, Bill, you and Mike may know the answer. We heard, or I was told, Charlie, I think, told me, that Ox wanted to come to Mobile, but said he wouldn't come because he couldn't sell his gimmicks.
That's right. That was the main reason, because he had to sell his stuff. I said, Ox, there's nobody to sell it to.
I was going to say, you should have told him to come on. Nobody to bought it.
That's what I'm telling. I said, what's the appetizer?
But then you know what would happen. He said he didn't have a way home then, and we had to figure out a way home, Paul.
Yeah. He's a character.
He was a character, buddy. Still is.
I've been in a full character.
That's what made it so interesting.
That's true. That's true.
That's, you know, it's like a girl I knew from Pensacola one time. Said her daddy didn't want her to go to matches. And I said, why? And he said, it's like a circus. And I got offended. And she said, well, that's what all he say? He said, well, stop and think about it. You got midgets, giants, you got bears, and all kind of stuff. What does a circus have? and so I didn't say nothing else to her.
Yeah, you had no comeback for that, did you?
No, I didn't. You know how people, the bad guys always got to come back when somebody janks them around from ringside?
Right.
I got in the ring in Charlotte one time, and a woman said, you catfish SOB. And it's done me so bad, I couldn't think of nothing to say. And I walked back over. I said, what do you mean, catfish? She says, you all mouth and no ass.
I think she was talking about me, Joe.
But it's just, I think we all had a great time at it, and I think that's true. We still love it. I think that's true. We always will.
That's true. That's true. I think that's what makes Mobile every year so enjoyable, and why we all look forward to it.
Yeah. You know, we said tell a lot of times, tell the same stories over and over, and we always laugh at them.
You know, I wanted to ask you, how did Jack like the reunion?
Oh, he loved it.
Oh, he did.
That's my son. I brought with my oldest son. Yeah, he loved it.
Good looking boy.
He's a big old boy. Yep. I steered him away from the business though. You know, I just didn't, at the time, the way things were, I didn't want to see him get in it. But he fought full body contact sports and all kind of stuff. And he was scrappy. And work, that boy worked all the time. Don't care. I'm not talking about in the business either. I'm talking about on the job. So, anyway, when you say he's leaving, Michael?
What's that?
When did you say he's going back on the road?
I'm leaving next Friday.
Yeah, what was that deal you could do for me? I forgot again.
Oh, the Memphis Heat thing? I'll bring it to you this weekend. I flea market.
Okay. Good.
I'm coming out there on Sunday this time instead of Saturday because I went out to visit Joe at the flea market this past Saturday, guys, and it took me longer to find a parking place than it did the time I spent with him while I was in there. I sat in front of the flea market out on Killinger Road for 10 minutes before I could even turn into the place. The weather was nice, so everybody was out. They were all going to the flea market, I guess. I thought y'all may have had a sale on roads or something. That's the way they were piling in there.
Yeah.
What did you say about those people, Mike?
What's that? Oh.
See, what did you say about those people? If you open the door...
I don't know if I'm going to say that on the air or not, but I guess I will. I said I've never seen so many ugly folks in one place in all my life. Looked like a wrestling match.
I heard that. There's a lot of people going there. They just... they got 800-some booths out there. It's big.
It's just like New Orleans. If you stand at that flea market long enough, anything in the world you can imagine will walk by in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
I've always said that about New Orleans, but I think the flea market mobile is just about the same thing.
Some young boy and his mother sit up down the aisle from me. One time he come with a ballerina skirt going on and with lipstick on. Next time he's got something else on, and he just comes up with all kind of weird stuff. He walks
what
down there.
What are they peddling?
Huh?
What are they peddling?
I don't know what they're selling down there. I found out to go near that booth. I've seen a lot of weird things, but he's taking the cake this time. Yeah. So I think they had to move him a couple of times because some people wouldn't sit by. There's a lot of stuff out there, though, Gary. That place has got so many items out there, it's unreal.
I bet it does.
They nickname it around here, they call it the Redneck Mall.
Redneck Mall.
Uh-huh.
You do good out there?
That's appropriate.
Yes. That's appropriate, for sure.
Is this the only place you go?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I'm fixing to try to get in the sunglass business, too, along with this.
Go this weekend to Savannah if you can, and set up a table down there and sell stuff.
It's going to be gorgeous,
yeah.
Too.
What y'all got going on down there? I wasn't listening when it started, show.
Got the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Oh, is that it?
We got a million people coming in for it. The town.
Jesus.
A million.
A million people. Daggum. That's huge.
They can't even believe it.
Huh?
I mean, I can't imagine money is going to be dropped here.
God, I'm telling you, man. Heck, it might have drawn here. They only draw like 180,000 or 190,000 people for big parades.
Joe, if you leave Mobile in the morning, you can have your gimmick table set up by, you know, sometime tomorrow afternoon.
Still good.
Yeah. My name's not Charlie Smith.
If he's listening to the show, he's probably in that van headed toward Savannah right now.
Yeah.
Probably is. If you get
the green
rug,
van, too, still fit right in.
If you get the green rug, you'll do well.
Yeah, I couldn't have got him. Yeah, I could have got them. I get all kind of stuff, but you won't believe it. The boy that works with him is our grandson, and he had a tendency to go down there and sit on some rugs I got at a 3x5s when wasn't nobody buying anything. He'd go down there and sit on it. So I made up a sign and put it in behind him. He didn't see me slip up behind and do it. I put on there magic carpet. Will not fly. Too much weight on it. Anyway, I bug him a lot, too. But anyway, when y'all going to get together in Georgia?
Probably after Vegas.
After Vegas?
We go to Vegas to 14th of April through the 19th, and then we'll probably do something in probably something in May here.
Yeah. What month is Tennessee in? I forgot the thing, but I forgot what
September.
Month.
September.
Last weekend in September, I think.
Yeah.
It's invitation only this year because Scott had so many, and I think he said he invited a few more. And, of course, having it at his house like that, he kind of has to limit it. But, man, it looked like you guys had a great time up there last year.
Well, I didn't make it last
one. Year before, I know you did, and they had a good one last year, too. Bill Dundee had the funniest line of anybody up there.
What?
Walked up and looked at Scott's house, and he went, I should have sold programs.
When I went up there, you know what I told him? I said, Scott, has anybody from where you work seen this place yet? I said, don't let them see it. They'll be investigating you. That's a fine house. Yeah, and they were very good hosts, too. Very good hosts.
Yeah, last year he had a ring set up in the backyard.
Who could climb in it?
Well, they made some pictures of people in it, and they say that Ethel Brown had somebody body slam her.
Ethel Brown, Cora Combs, and Casey. I think only the women wrestlers were the ones that managed to get in the ring.
Yeah, you will. I don't know. I don't know if I can get up the steps tomorrow, much less climb through the ropes.
You know, it's as much time as of course you guys spent a lot more than I did, but as much time as I spent in the ring, when they introduced us out at that Ted Allen show and I got in the ring, it was like trying to walk on water. I was so unsteady, I went over and grabbed the ropes and propped up against them.
Yeah, some guys ask me every once in a while, how come you don't still wrestle? Like, I'm 72 years old. But anyway, I just tell them, I say, well, you know, I quit a long time ago because them young guys' bodies moves a lot faster than mine. Take one bump, and they wouldn't even have to cover me. They just go ahead and count me out.
Somebody asked me up at that show, said, are you going to take a bump tonight? And I said, if I do, you'll know I tripped.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the type of great amount of money that they gave to the fund? Boy, I'm telling you, that was great.
I tell you, I told Jerry Bill, that night we went up and did that show, they had four generations of Georgia referees. Charlie started in the 50s, Ronnie started in the 60s, I started in the 70s, and Scrappy started in the 80s. And they had it's the first time we've all worked together. And they had us around the ring. And I told them the atmosphere that night was like going back in time 30 years. The place was pretty well full. The people were into the matches. The only thing lacking was the talent in the ring. It just wasn't what it used to be. But great night, brought back a lot of memories.
And next year we'll have to make sure the Sky Brothers are up there. Have to get them up.
Well, I should have went last year. This year, we get the dang old, but I'll be around another year.
Oh yeah.
My dad, he could be 102 in April, and he keeps telling me, wait till you get my age, son. I said, I don't want to be your age. Yeah.
How old is your dad now?
He'd be 102 April 10th.
Wow.
102. Yeah. Is he still in Oklahoma?
Yeah, they're going to have a big thing for him. They're going to have a thing where, you know, he rode a motorcycle in the police department, and in his mind now, he still likes the motorcycles real big time. So the whole police department on motorcycles will come over there to see him at the assisted living home. Chief police come in, and they're going to have the news people out there, and they're going to do all kind of stuff for him. They're going to get some kind of award from the president of the United States. And I don't know how he could like that because I don't think he likes that president. But
Is he still chasing the nurses?
Oh, yeah. He can't think about it. My sister went over to see him the other day, and they don't lock the door. It's a real nice place. And they have keys where they can lock it. But she got there and went to walk in, and the door was locked. So she had a key. She opened it up, and there he sat with some old lady on each side of him that's sitting there eating candy on the couch. But he didn't lock the door, so he must have thought he'd go get lucky. Yeah. But he's finally getting out where he feels like he don't know why he's living so long. He ain't getting no friends left. I ain't got nothing to do. But anyway, that's one reason I don't live that long. You know, if you live right, or you don't go downstairs when you die, you ain't no need living long. Where your kids don't have time for you, they're too busy, and kids don't have time. There's a lot of things change when you get old, and I'm starting to see some of that myself. So my grandson's asking the other day, he says, Papa, said, you've been around a long time. He's got a two-and-a-half-year-old son now. He said, you've been around a long time. He says, what does it look forward to about being married to some woman? I said, son, I said, I'm going to take it like it is. I said, women, when they date you, they think you're the finest looking guy, the smartest guy, and the sexiest guy, and they'll do anything you want because they care for you. Now, once you get married, I said, they spend the rest of their life trying to get even with you. He said, I'm already starting to believe that.
Well, guys, we are down to the wire. I appreciate you guys filling in at the last second. Hopefully we'll be able to reschedule with Mr. Garvin and get him on with us. He must have had an opportunity to go hunting or fishing or something. That's what Ronnie's favorite thing to do. So hopefully in the very near future we can get him on. And it was good to have you guys back on again. It's been a while since we've had you guys on. And sorry if we threw you a curveball and got you on unprepared. But Joe Spencer never runs out of stories. So I knew that would be a good chance. You guys got anything to plug before we leave the air?
No, I don't.
All I've got to say is I love you guys. Later.
Love you too, Bill.
Right.
You take care,
Bill. Well, Gary, be safe down in Savannah.
Yes, sir, guys. I appreciate the night. I enjoyed it.
I did too. Jerry, try not to get lost in the crowd, Bubba.
No, sir, I won't. I'm stay clear.
I understand.
We'll get together again next Thursday, and we'll do this all over again. Hopefully, it'll go as planned. But I think tonight went fine.
We can always pull it off.
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right.
Okay,
good night,
guys. Good night.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast. Production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.